20%. That's how much oil prices have risen in a single month. Brent crude and West Texas Intermediate both sitting on July's extraordinary gain, even as they dipped slightly on Friday, as traffic through the Strait of Hormuz partially recovered. To put that in perspective, a 20% monthly oil price surge is the kind of move that central bankers have nightmares about, because it feeds directly into transportation costs, manufacturing inputs, food prices, and ultimately into the inflation numbers that determine interest rate decisions.
And the operative word in that headline is partially. Traffic through the strait is recovering, but there's been no major diplomatic breakthrough. The U.S.-Iran conflict is now entering what looks like an extended stalemate phase. Not a hot shooting war in the conventional sense, but a persistent disruption of one of the world's most critical maritime choke points. About 20% of global oil supply passes through the Strait of Hormuz on any given day. Even partial disruption creates enormous price volatility.
What's interesting from a market mechanics standpoint is who's absorbing the pain differently. European energy markets were already stressed from last year's supply disruptions. Asian buyers, particularly China, Japan, South Korea, are rerouting some shipments, but at significantly higher costs. Meanwhile, U.S. domestic producers are in an unusual position where higher prices are actually beneficial for their balance sheets, even as American consumers pay more at the pump.
The Iran angle gets more complicated today because of the report out of Tehran, an Iranian lawmaker publicly warning that Israel might formally join the U.S. war effort. Now, Iranian lawmakers don't set foreign policy, but they do reflect the internal political temperature, and statements like this tend to move markets because they widen the perceived risk envelope. If Israel opens a second active front, the strait calculus changes entirely.
There's a sanctions dimension here, too, that I want to flag. Despite all the rhetoric about cutting Iran off economically, U.S. Energy Information Administration data released this week showed that American reactors actually purchased more Russian-enriched uranium in 2025 than in previous years, rising to 26% of purchases, up from 17% a decade ago. So while the U.S. is in active conflict posture with Iran over energy security, it's simultaneously more dependent on Russian nuclear fuel than it was before the Ukraine war started. That's a contradiction that Congress is going to have to reckon with.
And the tariff picture complicates this further, Marcus. The new Trump tariff regime, which is supposed to protect American industries and punish bad actors, has about half of U.S. imports exempt from the new duties. Critics this week pointed out that many of those exempt product categories are specifically linked to forced labor supply chains, including goods from Xinjiang. So you have a policy that claims to address both trade and human rights, with exemptions that critics say undercut both goals simultaneously.
Amazon actually surfaced as an interesting data point in that tariff conversation. The company received $600 million in tariff refunds, presumably because goods that were already in transit or paid under previous rates qualified for drawback, and they've announced they'll pass some of that savings to customers. That "some" is doing a lot of work in that sentence. We don't have specifics on how much or when.
The broader energy security picture for this summer is also shaped by what forecasters released this week, a warning that the 2026 El Niño event could set all-time records. That affects agriculture, hydropower output, wildfire risk. We saw the California wildfire story this week with Edison International's CEO essentially confirming that company equipment likely caused the 2025 Eaton fire that killed 19 people. Climate volatility and energy market volatility are increasingly the same story.